how about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. He's John Littlefoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to On Texas Football, a Sunday edition here. Myself, Bobby Burton, alongside Jerry Hamilton of OnTexasFootball.com. We're going to do a little freshman check-in brought to you by our friends at Allegiant Digital Marketing. But Jerry, before we get into anything else, I want to actually hit on some transfer portal news that you're aware of. Give people an update on the defensive tackle, Dominic Williams, out of TCU by way of Southern California.
Yeah, so Dominic Williams, 6'2", 315 pound defensive lineman. He has three official visits in the books now. It was Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri. He goes to LSU Monday and Tuesday prior to either a Wednesday or Thursday decision as it currently stands. So three visits out of the way. LSU, the last visit Monday, Tuesday. Then we're expecting a decision either Wednesday or Thursday. And obviously, since he's not going to Oregon, he's going to play in the SEC. So Texas is either going to have him or they're going to play against him. Now, only, obviously, LSU and Missouri aren't on the schedule. But there's a chance that Texas plays against them if they don't have him. But I would say this. I think Texas probably still ahead of Oklahoma. I haven't really heard anything on Missouri, but I think LSU's the one here that Texas and Oklahoma are most concerned about.
Got it. Interesting. So Dominic Williams, that's the update there. Of course, the NCAA transfer portal closes at Tuesday night at 11:59 p.m. As of right now, eight Longhorns have gone into the portal. Again, we're taping this around noon on Sunday, so there could be more announced after that or previous to that. We'll find out. But our point being here, Texas, a quick update on the portal with Dominic Williams. A major emphasis, obviously. Texas, by the way, had three former portal transfers drafted on Saturday and Friday, Saturday, which should be good news if those guys are looking for a future, not only Adonai Mitchell, but also Keelan Robinson, as well as Ryan Watts, all drafted. Just a tremendous draft class for the Longhorns. We've talked about that ad nauseum. Let's go into the freshman check-in portion of this. And what we want to do here is give you guys a feel for what we think these guys are and where they're at in the process, maybe in relation to their recruiting ranking and possible expectations on the way into the program. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. That is Allegiant Digital Marketing. Did you know that among the top nine challenges business owners face, the most difficult ones include finding customers, increasing brand awareness, digital advertising, and lead generation? What if I could point you to a local homegrown agency here in Austin that could solve those problems for you and your business once and for all? For more than 25 years, Allegiant Digital Marketing founder and CEO Chad Markham, a UT grad and instructor of the UT Digital Marketing Bootcamp here at Texas, has helped thousands of businesses overcome these challenges. Take advantage of their Hook 'em Horns special and save up to $2,500 in advertising. Visit AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball to learn more today. That's AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball to learn more today. All right, Jerry, I think you look at the freshman check-in. A lot of what people saw was only from the spring game. We obviously saw a couple practices ourselves. We also heard some stuff behind the scenes. So this isn't just about what we saw in the spring game. However, if it was, let's start at quarterback. Trey Owens would get a big fat A based on his performance. The young man from Cy Fair going 14 of 21 for 228 and three TDs, often with the backup offense and the backup offensive line, et cetera. Owens, Jerry, definitely, I want to say on schedule, ahead of schedule, maybe slightly behind. He's definitely on to ahead of schedule based on what his ranking was coming out of high school.
Yeah, I think so. Look, he had the one interception that he did have dropped by another freshman, Zena, which we'll get to. So, look, he's a freshman, right? They're going to make bad reads. Not every play is going to be great, but I think he's ahead of schedule. And I'll say this, from the first time having seen him a senior in high school, then the first time seeing him in the open media window, we talked about on the video, he has better feet in the pocket. He's not an athlete outside the pocket, but he's got good feet in the pocket. And I think that's kind of come through early on at Texas. And Steve Sarkisian said it and during the spring game, and I think a halftime interview, if he's got time, he's going to make accurate throws. And that's what Trey Owens is, a pocket passer, that if you protect him, he is going to put the ball in the right spots with the right timing to the right people. And obviously, you know, a lot of people see the throw, to the long throw that Ryan Wingo, because that's the one that's going to get clipped and retweeted. But his two best throws in the spring game were the third and long to Thatcher Milton on the left sideline, and then the last touchdown to Ryan Wingo dropping it over the right shoulder. Those, I thought were his two best throws. I thought he had a tremendous spring game. And it started with a guy that went to Texas with confidence and a belief in what he's got. And that's so important at the quarterback position. He didn't go into Austin saying, how long is this going to take me? And what kind of process do I have in front of me? He's not that type of competitor.
Ahead of schedule. I think it's where people got to think. All right. Next group, running backs, Jarrett Gibson and Christian Clark come in. And I got to say this now that we're just one day removed from the draft, but Tashard Choice has had four running backs drafted in the last 2 years. That's kind of unheard of.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jaden Blue, Cedric Baxter, the lead guys, along with Trey Weisner, Savion Red transfers. What are your thoughts right now on Jarrett Gibson and Christian Clark? I kind of have them basically, Jerry, as on schedule.
Yeah, I think on schedule. They're going to be playing a reserve role this year. Both of them. Now, I'll say this. Physically, they're ahead of schedule. Running back-wise, they're on schedule. Both of those guys could go play in Power 5 football physically. And Christian Clark still has this offseason to get ready for August. But I think what we kind of talked about is what's transpired. They're really good scheme fits in the run game. I think Christian Clark's hands in the passing game have carried over. I think both those guys' toughness have carried over. They're different backs. Christian Clark's a more violent cutter, but I would say they're absolutely on schedule and guys that Texas is very high on in the future.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's a fair assessment. We saw enough of them to know that they've got a chance. Yeah. You know what I mean? And for running backs right now, Texas is not needing them to be ahead of schedule, frankly.
Right.
So that's part of the grade there. All right, the wide receivers. Texas brought in four through the high school ranks. Ryan Wingo, Parker Livingstone, Freddie DeBose, and Aaron Butler. Here's my take on this right now.
Yeah.
Ryan Wingo's ahead of schedule.
No doubt.
Four catches, 81 yards, two touchdowns in the spring game, 56-yarder from Trey Wingo, for Trey Owens, where he just literally took it to the house and didn't look back. A couple of other nice catches and runs. I think that he's well ahead of schedule. Parker Livingstone, I had as on schedule. Freddie DeBose did not participate much. I'm going to go behind schedule there. But I will say this, if you got a chance to see him on the sideline during the spring game, good-looking player. I mean, he's got height, size, weight, et cetera. Just needs to get healthy on that knee. Aaron Butler, I'm just going to go on schedule there. We heard some nice things, but I don't know if it's enough to put him ahead of schedule at this point. What do you think of those four guys, starting, obviously, with Ryan Wingo?
Yeah, I was going to add a category way ahead of schedule for Ryan. way ahead of schedule. I mean, he looks like a guy that Sark will play at Michigan on the road a little bit. How much? That's going to be determined in August practices. But he's put himself in that conversation. As Rod said, Sark's expanding the circle of trusted receiver, and Ryan Wingo's forcing circle of trust to expand. I think he's got such a bright future in front of him. I'm going to put Aaron Butler slightly ahead of schedule, but that doesn't mean he's going to play much this year because of all the people in front of him. It's going to be patience. But the fact that Texas is already putting him back there to return punts, the fact that Texas, they like him a lot, what they've seen from him, the toughness. And I'm not comparing him to Xavier Worthy, but he's got some traits, the tough trait, the fearless trait, and the physical trait. So I think that's the thing. I think he had a drop or two in the spring game, but again, he's a developing wide receiver. Parker Livingstone on schedule. I give Freddie DeBose behind schedule or incomplete, whatever you want to call it, because he didn't practice much this spring, and he's still trying to get all the way back healthy, even though he played as a senior. I think playing as a senior might have even caused a little bit of a setback at times for him, and now Texas wants him to get healthy.
I want to add this because we talked, all the talk is Ryan Wingo at that position. Yeah. You mentioned Aaron Butler. Parker Livingstone had some things that we heard in the latter half of spring ball, just to take this a little bit further. There's some things that he did in the latter half of spring ball that took the coaches' notice. Yeah. So I think him being on schedule is not a bad thing.
No.
At all. That's
with the running backs, think about it, Bobby. Parker Livingstone, Aaron Butler, Christian Clark, and Jarrett Gibson, it's all about patience. I mean, that's all we're talking about here. I mean, look at Jonathan Brooks' patience. Look at Jaden Blue's patience. Look at DeAndre Moore's patience. It's going to pay off if you continue to be patient. You can be on schedule or slightly ahead of schedule and still not see the field for a top five ranked team.
Yep, fair enough. All right, tight end. Jordan Washington, the only signee. I'm going to say a little bit ahead of schedule.
No doubt.
I think what was surprising to me here is not so much whether he's ahead of schedule, behind schedule, any of that stuff. It's where I think now mentally where his long-term upside is, maybe vis-a-vis where I thought it was based on his recruiting ranking.
Yeah.
His recruiting ranking was not as high as where I think he could be. I mean, I think he's a draftable prospect long-term for the Longhorns if he works hard, loves the game, all that stuff. Where you come out on that one?
I have him ahead of schedule just because, you know, when a basketball player transitions to football full time, his coach Todd Thompson at Langham Creek did a great job because he didn't just stick him out at X receiver to help try to win high school football games, just throw him fades, right? He actually made him a tight end. He made him play in line. He made him play off the line. He played a various different ways within the Langham Creek offense, and I think that helped prepare him. But what I saw was fearlessness from him, and that's the thing I look for sometimes with a freshman that's really talented. Are you fearless? He goes up and makes the catch of the spring game. He takes a hit to his leg, doesn't want help getting off the field. He showed some fearlessness and toughness for a young player at that position, outside of the skill set, that I really like. So I'm putting him ahead of schedule. But again, that doesn't mean you're going to see him a lot on Saturdays this year. That just means the future's really bright.
Got it. All right, the offensive line. I agree with you on all. I think we've been in the same page on almost all of these guys to this point. Ahead of schedule, on schedule, behind schedule for the two offensive linemen that are already in, Brandon Baker and Daniel Cruz. Where do you go? And then I'll follow up.
I got ahead of schedule for Daniel Cruz. I think he's got a chance to be an elite player, and that's not just because I liked him a lot in high school. Just what I heard behind the scenes, what you saw a little bit of in the spring game, I think he's going to be a multi-year starter and has a chance to be an elite center in college football. I think he's ahead of schedule, but again, ahead of schedule with a red shirt. Brandon Baker, I think, is right on schedule. Physically, I think he's ahead of schedule. In his development as an offensive lineman, I think he's right on schedule. You know, he put on 15 pounds. He looked stronger to me, Bobby, in the spring game than he did in high school on some senior tape. So I think he's right on schedule with a chance to move ahead of schedule by the time the season starts. But with that being said, that doesn't mean he's going to be the backup right tackle in a game on Saturdays this year. I think he's headed to a red shirt unless there's major injury. I think Daniel Cruz is headed to a red shirt, but I think the returns are really good on those guys.
Really positive early. Let me ask you this. Does Daniel Cruz have to be a center? Because Texas has some good center. Is there a possibility he's a guard long-term?
I think he's a center all the way. I think Texas loves him at center. They love the leadership, everything he brings at center. I think in the building, I think he has a chance to be a tremendous player at center.
Got it. All right. Alex January next. Let's fast forward to the defense here. Alex coming in from Duncanville, the lesser heralded of the two Duncanville players. Obviously, Colin Simmons, considered one of the top players in the country, if not top player in the state. Alex, though, has shown extremely well. I don't think there's any question that you and I both are going to say ahead of schedule.
Yeah, ahead of schedule. Look, I mean, and the crazy thing, Bobby, is we talk about the recruiting rankings and everything. Colin Simmons had a high ankle sprain his senior year. But Alex January is voted the defensive player of the year in a district that had Colin Simmons, Elijah Barnes. I mean, just go down the list. I mean, there's 15 Power 5 guys in that district. So he made a huge jump from junior to senior year entering college. And I think that's continued. I think he's a motivated kid. I think he, you know, when he got to Texas, he kind of looked at Sadir Mitchell and he looked at Aaron Bryant and he said, okay, I want to beat out one of these guys in the spring. I want to, and I think he's kind of got a list and I think he's very competitive. And here's the thing. I think he's going to take a big step in August, Bobby, because now Torrey Becton gets him for what? He gets him for June and July, two more months ahead of the season. I think he's going to make another jump here in August and September. And I think he'll be a guy that plays some this year.
All right, before we get to our next topic, which is going to be those defensive ends, we talked about Colin Simmons. I want to say thank you once more to our sponsor, Allegiant Digital Marketing. These videos would not be possible without our sponsors. Appreciate Allegiant Digital. Are you a business owner who struggles with the following? Finding new customers, consistent leads, finding marketing services to promote your business that actually work. Founder and CEO Chad Markham with Allegiant Digital Marketing, an Austin-based ad agency, has helped thousands of business owners just like you for more than 25 years conquer these challenges. So if you're ready to start making money in your business and grow with confidence, visit AllegiantDigital.com/OnTexasFootball and get a free marketing plan. Plus, you can save up to $2,500 in advertising with their Hook 'em Horns special today. We appreciate Chad and his crew over there. He also works at University of Texas in their digital boot camp, which I think is just awesome for young Longhorns that get a chance to do that. Hey, by the way, I want to say this, Jerry, and move forward on these guys. The next two, I tell you what, they both look the part as well as anybody. Colin Simmons and Zena Umeozulu. I think Colin Simmons is on schedule, if not a little bit ahead. Zena is on schedule. He's just got to get, I mean, got to keep adding weight, keep getting stronger in the weight room. But boy, Longhorns, I think, signed two really nice prospects at edge.
Yeah, I think barring major injury, they got two big. They got two hits at this position. I think Colin Simmons, look, I'm not even sure he's back to 100% yet. I think he will be by August, but he had a serious high ankle sprain. I was at the Under Armour game, and they didn't let him play. The trainer was like, no, he doesn't need to go. So he had a serious high ankle sprain that hampered his last part of his high school season. And then I think, you know, it's kind of continued a little bit, but when the lights come on, man, that the guy's just a little different. It's almost like Chop Robinson. He moves like Chop Robinson, who just went in the first round. You're like, he just moves a little different than everybody else on this field on defense. I think I would say slightly ahead of schedule. And I would say that because in the games, he's really delivered a couple of sacks and scrimmages. Spring game, you could tell he can create pressure. I think he's going to add something to this team this year. Zena, I think, is on schedule, maybe a little ahead of schedule physically, but as far as on the field, I think he's on schedule. I'm not sure we see much from him this year, but I think starting in 2025, we're going to see a lot of Zena.
Got it. All right. Ty-Anthony Smith, linebacker out of Jasper. Sneakily good game. In the spring game. I mean, I went back and watched that, and I've watched it now three times, I guess. He had a sneakily good game in he has a little bit of a second sense or sixth sense as it relates to football. Very interesting prospect to me. I would say on schedule, but I'm not so sure we don't look up a year from now and kind of think, man, this guy's got a little something extra.
Yeah, I think he's going to. I think a year from now, he's going to be challenging for a starting spot at Texas. I really do. He just needs time physically. for his body to catch up with the football. I think he's probably slightly ahead on the football field and on schedule physically, with the understanding that he's 20, 25 pounds away. But he's a kid that's going to gain that weight. He's long arms, 79, 70, almost 80-inch wingspan at 6'1 and a half. That's very long arms. That's a +8 guy. So that frame's going to take time to fill out. But, Bobby, I couldn't agree more. He is instinctive on a football field. He can play he could come off the edge and play. He can play in the middle. He just knows how to play football. He has a feel. He has an instinct about him. I think maybe it's a sports intuition type of thing with him. I have a feeling he's one of those guys that's good at whatever he does. He just has an understanding of sports. Those guys end up being really good players if they stay healthy.
All right. I'm going to go look at the DBs next. There's four of them that came in early. Wardell Mack and Kobe Black at corner. Black, of course, had that interception in the spring game. Also got beat deep, though, by Ryan Wingo. JJR, Jordan Johnson-Rebell, and Xavier Filsomee. I'm going to say where I'm at on these right now. I'd say Wardell Mack is on schedule. I think Kobe Black may be a little bit behind schedule. And here's why. I'm not sure if corner is necessarily his long-term position based on outright out-and-out speed. I think he's going to get a little big. JJR, Jordan Johnson-Rebell, I think is a little ahead of schedule, actually, right now. And then Xavier Filsomee on schedule. What do you think of those rankings? Where would you go with any of them different than me, maybe?
I agree with all that, Bobby. I thought one thing about Wardell Mack that I thought showed in the spring game, physicality doesn't scare him. And some people tell, well, yeah, he's from New Orleans. Those guys are physical players. Yes, but it still has to translate. And when it translates as an early enrollee, you kind of say, okay, this guy's got a chance. Because physically, he stepped up to me in the spring game. And I think at corner, he's learning a singular position for the first time. I think he's made a very much on schedule player. I agree on Kobe Black. And I think physically he's quite a bit behind schedule. I think he's got a little higher body fat composition. So I think there's going to be a little reshaping for Kobe. He's got a huge year in front of him to physically get where he can be. And then if he does that, are they going to build up his speed a little bit? That's the player development part that I think Texas is looking at with Kobe Black. And then to your point, Bobby, where does his body go? What is he? Is he a corner? Is he a safety? I totally agree. Jordan Johnson-Rebell, I do think slightly ahead of schedule. If you watch the spring game, I mean, he didn't get turned around. He wasn't lost out there. Similar to Ty-Anthony Smith, he's an instinctive football player that just has an understanding of football, has that sports mind understanding. Those guys are often in the right place at the right time. And Xavier Filsomee, I think he got a couple of freshman moments out of his way. I thought it was great for him. That's why being an early enrollee in the secondary is huge. I think that spring game is going to help him. I think you're going to see both those guys on special teams next year.
Got it. All right. That's going to do it for those guys. I do want to add a couple of different little pieces here for us. Let's talk briefly, and we don't have to do anything major, ahead or behind of schedule or on schedule for the what I would call the mid-year guys that came in the portal. Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Amari Nyblack, Trey Moore, Tia Savea, and Kendrick Blackshear. Let's start with Bond and Golden just real briefly.
Yeah, I think Bond is right on schedule. I think the speed, everything Texas thought, is there. I think he's worked hard at his craft. I think he's right on schedule. You know, look, he had a couple of drops early in the spring game. But, you know, we had Bond when I was ESPN Under Armour. He's always kind of done that. That's not something that's uncommon for him. But I think he's on schedule. I'd say Matthew Golden's slightly behind schedule because of injury. It's kind of kept him from being 100% at times this spring. So that puts him a little bit behind schedule.
What about the two other Alabama transfers, Amari Nyblack at tight end and Kendrick Blackshear? Where you have on that?
I think Amari Nyblack's on schedule. You know, I think anybody that's magically going to expect him to be a blocker, that's just putting unrealistic expectations on him as a player. I think he's on schedule, though. I really liked what I saw from him in the spring game on the screen game. And I have no doubts he's going to be a big-time playmaker for Texas. Kendrick Blackshear, I think, on schedule. I mean, he is what he is. He's an A-gap player. right, that played about 100 snaps in the A-gaps for Alabama. He's going to have his place against Michigan, Georgia, Kentucky, and he's got experience doing that. I would say those guys are on schedule.
Yeah, I would say this with Blackshear. The only thing is he may think he's behind schedule.
Correct.
You know, because he is third team right now behind not only Anthony Hill and David Benda, but also Leonga LaFau and Mo Blackwell.
Good point. His expectations may be behind schedule.
Yeah, exactly. For his own. Trey Moore did not see action in the spring game. Tia Savea did. Savea, Jerry, did more than we maybe anticipated in the spring game. You know, I don't know if they're on schedule, off schedule. Moore, I'm just going to tell you guys, based on what I've been told and expectations, Moore is ahead of schedule.
Well, look, when Sarkisian talks to him like he talks about him like he could be a captain, you're ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
I mean, and then with Savea, I would say he's on schedule. I think what the Texas staff probably saw is he's a bit of a gamer versus maybe an experienced guy that's going to be a great practice player. I think he's a gamer. I thought he had the best game of the interior defensive lineman. Alfred Collins didn't play a lot. Obviously, Vernon Broughton wasn't there. But I thought Savea showed that he's going to help Texas win a couple of games this year.
Gotcha. All right. That's going to do it for this afternoon. I want to say this. If you are not a subscriber to On Texas Football, you should be. Jerry put that note out about Dominic Williams on Texas Football first, because we can't get to everything all time, every day on video. We have a component called ontexasfootball.com. Visit us there. We talked about the NFL draft a lot this weekend, shot the breeze with everybody. Please give us a chance to earn a subscription from you. Right now, there's a $20 off opportunity if you're an OTFOG. It's normally $59.95. Go to ontexasfootball.com right now. Put in the code OTFOG. Apply the code OTFOG, and you get an annual subscription for just $39.95. This is not one of those expensive subscriptions. Or you can do monthly for $5.95. Again, that's OTFOG at ontexasfootball.com. All right, Jerry, that's going to do it. I think that, you know, based on what we saw, I want to close out with this. Based on what we saw over the weekend with the 11 draft picks, you know, Texas, I don't know if they're going to have 11 every year, but they have classes like this freshman class. It ain't going to be out of the realm of possibility.
No. I mean, and you have an article. I had an article about 2025 draft possibilities, and I think it's looking about the same next year, guys.
Yeah, it really is.
And one of those
may not be the top end guys,
right?
Unless Kelvin Bank, some, you know.
But hey, to that point, Bobby, Michigan just won a national title, and they had a quarterback go in the first round. The majority of their guys went second, third, fourth, and they ended up with 13 guys drafted and several other free agents. But a lot of those guys were mid round picks. They have had a tremendous.
Michigan right now, I heard saw a early mock. They have four first rounders mocked.
Yeah, right Will now. Johnson, Mason Graham, Colston Loveland, and Kenneth
Grant. Yeah, all four of those guys. So, long story short, Michigan is going to be not without talent when Texas sees them second week of the season. Do they have the depth like they had this past year? That'll be the question. All right, for Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. Thank you also to Allegiant Digital Marketing. That's allegiantdigital.com/OnTexasFootball. For Jerry, I'm Bobby. Hook 'em, guys. Have a good weekend. We'll see you tonight at the live stream, 7 o'clock. Myself, Jerry, as well as Rob Babers. Hopefully have some more recruiting and portal news for you at that time.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today, we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next, you need the team to act on feedback fast. So you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/retro now for a free business plan trial to unlock advanced retro tools like private mode, voting, and two-way Jira syncing. That's Miro.com/retro now.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.